You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
It's time for our weekly catch-up with the ACT Party's Simon Court.
Last week, ACT Party leader David Seymour called on the government to sell its shares in Air New Zealand. The statements followed the half-year $40 million loss at the end of 2025, which followed a profit the year before of $106 million. Seymour criticised Air New Zealand for going woke, which included electric planes, glossy reports on climate change, and paper cups in the Koru Lounge. This past week also saw the government propose expanding police powers to enforce move-on orders for rough sleepers across the country. The government says this order will help reduce disorderly behaviour and ensure the public can feel and are safe. However, the order would not just target those who are disorderly or disruptive, but also any form of begging, rough sleeping, or intention to inhabit a public space. The proposal has been criticised for multiple reasons, including as an inadequate solution, failing to address the cause of the problem, and as unnecessarily cruel measures against those who are already struggling. This weekend also saw conflict escalating between multiple powers in the Middle East, most notably between Israel and Iran. In our weekly catch-up with the ACT Party, Simon Court asked about each of these issues, beginning with a quick question on the government's stance on issues in the Middle East. Do you have anything you'd like to say on the developing situation in the Middle East?
Well, Iran has spent decades funding their proxies and Hezbollah and Hamas. They've been destabilising their neighbours and pursuing a nuclear weapons capability that has terrified their neighbours and the wider world. And none of this has happened in a vacuum. Israel has its right to defend itself against what has been a constant threat, death to Israel, and of course, United States. You know, the Ayatollah, RIP, was always saying death to America. But in the end, something was going to have to happen. And what we've seen over the past few days is the US and Israel coordinating and planning to take out that violent and repressive leadership.
Why do David Seymour and the ACT Party believe that the government should be selling these shares?
Well, it's because if the Crown has billions of dollars tied up in an airline or any other business, New Zealanders should be seeing reliable services and competitive prices coming back from this airline. And right now, travellers are seeing the opposite. And that's why ACT is saying, look, the airline needs to get back to first principles, because Kiwis trying to book a flight to the regions, or if you're a student travelling, say, to a university in the South Island, and you're faced with $900 return tickets, the sustainability reports and future electric flying aviation concepts don't matter at all. And that's why ACT is saying, look, if this airline can't turn its business around and offer good services at reasonable prices, then their ownership structure needs to be looked at.
There's a bit of historical context for privatisation of Air New Zealand. In October 1989, the government sold its shares, which then led subsequently to a buyout in 2001 costing about $900 million. What would make this time any different?
Well, the government has lots of capital tied up in assets, and in many cases, these are lazy assets. The New Zealand Initiative has just released a report today identifying $24 billion of capital that could be recycled into infrastructure that we actually need. Because if you think about what the Infrastructure Commission said a few weeks ago in the National Infrastructure Plan proposal, we're about $200 billion short for everything from hospitals, schools, defence, stormwater and wastewater infrastructure, and that's before you even get to roads. So there is a case for recycling the capital, but whether Air New Zealand can turn itself around and actually deliver fair value to taxpayers and to customers remains to be seen. And, you know, at a certain point in time, government ownership of all of these assets, ACT would say, needs to be looked at very carefully.
That's not quite the question I asked, though. I'm looking to hear whether you're confident that if Air New Zealand were to be sold, if Air New Zealand shares were to be sold by the government, that the government wouldn't need to then later step in and buy them back.
Well, I can't obviously predict the future. If I could do that, I wouldn't be a civil engineer and now a member of parliament. You know, I'd be betting on the stock market myself. But what I can say is that government-owned companies have typically underperformed the market year on year. they do not feel the pressure that customers and the private sector put on private businesses. They're insulated, and as a result, they get lazy. Their attention drifts into matters like sustainable biofuels and electric aeroplanes that Air New Zealand spent $6 million flying backwards and forwards across Cook Strait, as if no one can actually buy a drone out of a box to deliver a package. And so what ACT would say is, look, while we can't predict the future, we can absolutely guarantee that businesses under private sector management are far more successful and deliver far better services to their customers than businesses that are under government ownership and management.
And those biofuels and electric planes, they come into some of what Seymour was saying about the losses we saw at Air New Zealand. He also mentioned some other stuff that came under this umbrella of going woke. Could you elaborate on what that means and how that resulted in losses at Air New Zealand?
Well, David Seymour might have seen the same things that I have. I mean, Air New Zealand runs an annual event at Parliament every year. And, you know, when I watched their introduction to the airline under this new CEO, the first 20 minutes of their video presentation to hundreds and hundreds of invited guests didn't feature an aeroplane. It featured culture, it featured nature, and all kinds of aspirational things that an airline doesn't really need to concern itself with. It needs to make sure its planes run on time, that its engines are serviced and operating, and that its crews are trained and, you know, ready to deliver good service to their customers. I think David Seymour's picking up on maybe some of the things that I saw. If you're 20 minutes into your promotional video in front of hundreds of invited guests and you haven't mentioned an aeroplane, maybe your focus is a bit wonky.
I want to move on now to the rough sleepers change. Why is this coming about now?
Well, New Zealanders should not have to run a gauntlet of intimidation to walk down their own main street. And move-on powers are simply about giving the police the ability to step in earlier when people become aggressive or obstructive or threatening. Now, I've had personal experience of this, and so have many staff who've worked for me on projects and in businesses in Auckland. You know, I ran a civil construction road maintenance alliance out of East Street just off Kay Road for 3 years, and then moved over to Hereford Street to run Auckland's ultra-fast broadband civil works. We had dozens of staff coming to and from our premises early in the morning, leaving late in the evening, and every day we would get reports of that type of intimidation or obstruction, or frankly, just completely antisocial behaviour. It was scary to our staff, and particularly younger staff and women coming to and from the office. Out of daylight hours when it was dark, it was a real concern. So I understand this at a deeply personal level, and you've got to think of all the businesses, all of those people who want customers to come. If there's somebody sleeping in their doorway or who's peed in the doorway, who on earth is going to want to come into that business? And that's why this government says, look, you know, we understand that homelessness is not a crime. These people have had some kind of tough situation, or they've made poor choices, but their situation is not a crime, but also their situation should not be imposed on others.
There's some words you mentioned there, aggressive, obstructive or threatening behaviour, and that's how the government has been presenting this change. However, if you look into what the proposal actually dictates, it's not just things that are aggressive, obstructive or threatening behaviours, you know. Some things in there like begging, like trying to live in a place, like slightly obstructing a doorway. These are things that homeless people might be doing because they want to stay alive as opposed to impede on someone else's safety or impede on someone else's way of life. This change seems unnecessarily cruel. Could you respond to that?
Well, I've made it absolutely clear. It is about obstructing doorways where people are trying to operate a business. It is about people trying to set up camp on private property or in public places that, you know, essentially creates an antisocial environment and discourages normal people going to and from work, or people who live in places like the CBD in Auckland, CBD in Wellington, and of course increasing demand for urban living in places like Hamilton, Tauranga, and Christchurch. Yeah, it's a real dark and sad situation that a lot of these people are in, but they don't get to impose their behaviours. They don't get to obstruct doorways of businesses and premises simply because they've made poor decisions in their lives or they're suffering from some kind of situation. There is help available, and I know that the government has continued to reinforce that, and ACT would also want to be absolutely sure that help is available for these people. The thing is, they haven't been required to take it because they know that the police haven't had the power to move them on. But with these move-on orders and having these services in place, I'm confident that a lot more of these people are going to get the help that they need.
You've created a bit of a narrative here about these people creating harmful or antisocial environments and that they should be moved on for the good of the public. In the change, in the proposal, it's going to affect people as young as 14 years old. What is the rationale there? These are practically children being affected.
Children should not be living on the street. They should not be living on the street because they're incredibly vulnerable and they could be preyed on by people who are not just antisocial, but who are criminals. There are social services available for 14-year-olds who are homeless. I think the whole point is here. Rather than allowing them to establish a life on the street, they need to be moved on and they need to be moved into care or into services where they can get help. But, you know, I could reiterate example after example of disgusting antisocial behaviour that is terrifying, that is obnoxious, and that actually stops people from going about their business. I've seen people taking a dump over a catch pit in East Street in the middle of the day. Now, whether you have a move-on order or not, that is completely unacceptable behaviour. And some of the things that I've seen coming to work early in the morning, you know, some of the things staff have told me about what they've been exposed to is completely unacceptable. Now, New Zealanders overwhelmingly support move-on orders on the basis that there is help or there is a service for people to go to. This government is going to make sure that the social services are there, that they are there, and these people are going to have an opportunity to use them rather than essentially being left to fester and live terrible lives on the street.
Yeah, and that seems to be the crux of the issue here, on the basis that there is help on the other end. This government has cut social services, cut benefits across the board. We've seen homelessness stay relatively the same under the course of this government, even go up in some places. Is that something that people can be confident in? You know, the government is saying, sure, we'll move on these people, and there's the claim that they'll be going to safer places, better places for them, but the government's been giving us evidence exactly to the contrary.
Well, Castor, I don't know what evidence you're citing, but this government spends around $5 billion a year on social housing, including public housing, through accommodation grants, emergency grants, and obviously funding NGOs, social agencies to deliver programs. So, yeah, $5 billion a year is a heck of a lot of money. When it comes to homelessness statistics, I know that opposition parties have been bandying around the fact homelessness has increased. It hasn't. The number of rough sleepers has decreased by some hundreds over the past year or so. And you know, what we want to do in the long run is make housing affordable and sustainable for people who currently are at the margins. But there are some behaviours and there are some individuals who cannot live on the street, intimidating business people trying to open up their business, who employ people who are afraid to come to work, you know, or just people getting on and off the bus, getting harassed by beggars. Like, we have a social safety net. We spend billions and billions of dollars. I think it's somewhere in the region of $11 billion a year on social welfare and programs overall in New Zealand. So I'm confident the services are there, and I think this is an entirely constructive and practical response to all of the demands that we've heard from people, you know, who have businesses in the city, live in the city, come and go from our major cities, that something needs to be done about this. And this government has the courage and the fortitude to do what is necessary.
That was the ACT Party's Simon Court speaking to me about conflict in the Middle East, Air New Zealand shares, and move-on orders for rough sleepers.
That was Simon Court from the ACT Party.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.